All right, Alexander, let's do a quick breakdown of the RNC. Maybe you want to give your thoughts on Trump's acceptance speech, which was, I believe, 70 minutes compared to Joe Biden's, which was around under 20 minutes. Joe Biden's didn't really say much. Trump's speech actually said a lot, to be honest. I mean, he talked a lot about policy and a lot about what he plans to do if and when he has his second term. So, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised at the actual policy quality of that speech. But outside of the RNC, Alexander, I think, is where the real story is at. I think it was a success, given all the restrictions with the lockdowns and everything and the way the format was. I think the RNC pulled off a much, much better, much more polished convention than the DNC. But the real story to me was Rand Paul. Senator Rand Paul, not only did he give a great speech where he warned what I have been warning about Biden in many, many episodes, that if Biden were to become president, there would be many wars that he would put the U.S., he would engage the U.S. in. Syria. He mentioned Syria. He mentioned Libya. He mentioned Yugoslavia, Rand Paul. He mentioned Yugoslavia, which is very true. Rand Paul did his homework. Biden is a warmonger, and Rand Paul called him out for that. But as Rand Paul was leaving the RNC, he was almost beaten up by these protesters in the middle of Washington, D.C. Rand Paul, a libertarian, non-interventionist, a person that has voted against every single war. I would beg to say a man of peace, a doctor. But yet these protesters surrounded him and his wife, and they wouldn't let him walk two blocks to his hotel. They wouldn't let him walk. It was, what the F is going on in the U.S.? What are you guys doing? Rand Paul did have an interview. I believe it was on Tucker Carlson or Fox and Friends. I forgot it was a Fox. It was Fox, where Rand Paul did mention that he believes these people, he said it was about 100 people, these rioters came from out of state. In other words, they were bused in or flown in, i.e. these are professional rioters. I believe that these guys are getting paid. The question is by who? And if they are getting paid, there's a money trail and the DOJ can shut this thing down. They can shut the organizations that are funding these rioters. Anyway, Alexander, I touched upon the RNC. I touched upon Trump's speech. Really good. All good. But the Rand Paul thing was absolutely shocking and disgusting.
Well, I think, first of all, I just want to say something about Rand Paul. Firstly, I thought that was a brilliant speech that he gave. Secondly, I thought it was extremely interesting that he was one of the people who was chosen to give a speech. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you know, the Democrats, Tulsi Gabbard, their anti-war person, who, remember, had two delegate votes, they kept away. Rand Paul was there. He was given the opportunity. He was given a platform to speak in the way that he did. He is also a United States senator. He is an important man. And of course, the other subject that dominates not just the Republican convention, but it should dominate politics in the United States, all, and I'm sure it affects many people, is the utter lawlessness that we are seeing in so many places in the United States. Lawlessness is not just it's not a sufficient word, Boyd. It is organized violence. And what did we see? Organized violence directed against a senator of the United States. And not just, you know, any senator, but a senator, a particularly well-known senator, Rand Paul, who is known to be someone who is opposed to all of these interventionist wars. Now, those of us who know, you know, American history very well will know that there was a very famous incident in the run-up to the American Civil War, when a U.S. senator, Republican senator, was attacked actually in the Senate House. And it created a huge storm. And it was one of the events that, you know, caused this great cleavage within American society. The feeling, you know, expressed by Abraham Lincoln that a house divided against itself cannot stand, because violence was now being directed against people elected to the Senate of the United States. And that's what we've seen again. And can I just say something? I agree completely that that was an organized protest. I mean, came very, well, protest isn't the right word, harassment came very close. I wouldn't say lynching, but I mean, certainly it was very, very threatening. And the other thing that I have noticed, and I'm going to just mention this about the Republican convention, I know you've covered it in, you know, in videos whilst I've been away, but the thing that has struck me is that now the liberals are starting to wake up to their danger. That we've seen Michael Moore talk about how Trump is actually winning the election, how he's ahead in the battleground states. I've been reading articles appearing in the Washington Post, in the Guardian in Britain, which to all intents and purposes now like writes almost like a US newspaper about American news. And they're starting suddenly to understand that the momentum is now with Donald Trump and with the Republicans, and that the ground is shifting back in their favor. I saw Byron York from the other side. He wrote a piece in the Washington Examiner, which was making exactly the same point. And what is it that has crystallized everything? What has made the public mood turn so strongly, as I think it is doing over the last few days, in the way that all of these people, Michael Moore, Byron York, commentators on the Washington, liberal commentators on the Washington Post, liberal commentators in the Guardian, all of these people, why is it happening? Well, for two reasons. Firstly, because they saw the contrast between a Democratic convention, which is the convention of the living dead, as we spoke of, and a convention made up of real people. And notice again how carefully Donald Trump invites all these real people, you know, people from every sort of part of life. They have their stories to say. There's Black Americans there, there's Hispanic Americans, there's people who, you know, serve the United States in various places. They're real people. They're people that with whom the American people looking at this can identify. They will say Donald Trump thinks about people like me. He cares about people like me. We saw nothing like that from the Democrats. So there's that. And then there's all the violence in American cities, which, of course, we talk about the mob violence, but we're also talking about the collapse in law and order, the fact that people are apparently leaving Chicago because Chicago, the situation in Chicago is becoming intolerable. We've seen New York, problems in New York. We see Portland, where protests, so-called, by the peaceful protesters, which are so, you know, well, so violent, that they continue in exactly the same way as before. So we see a positive message from the Republicans. We see the negative or non-message, if you like, from the Democrats. We see what is happening in American cities. And what is happening in American cities, it has now reached and affected a senator of the United States, a person lots of American people know, because Rand Paul is a well-known person in American politics, somebody who speaks out against wars, which is a popular position in the United States. He is now being harassed in this extraordinary fashion. That will reinforce the feeling, I have no doubt, amongst millions of Americans, that the situation is completely out of control. They'll be looking at the Democrats, and the Democrats have nothing to say about it. In fact, many Democratic mayors and governors are colluding in all of this, and they will see that the only person who offers any hope of a return to stability and order and the proper application of the law is Donald Trump. So no wonder people like Michael Moore, who have to some extent, I'm not going to try and exaggerate how, you know, in tune with American feeling he really is, but, you know, he presents himself, let's put it like this, as the voice of blue collar America. No wonder people like him, who are liberals are becoming concerned. And so they should be, because Donald Trump is winning and the Democrats are doing everything they can to help him win. And these organized mob attacks on people like Rand Paul will make them will make that victory even more sure.
Yeah, usually these organized mobs, these organized rioters are usually funded one by the NGOs and the Soros types of people, but there's always a political party behind them. I know in Greece that when you have these rioters and they're on the streets, it's pretty much, you know, that it's Tsipras and Syriza, the radical left. I mean, everyone, it's common knowledge. Everyone knows that they're the people that are behind these rioters. They're the people that are organizing them because they have those organizational skills as a party. They're the ones that get them on the street. They're the ones that provide them with whatever violent weapons they need. Everyone knows this. So my hunch is that in the U.S., the Democrats are much more involved with these rioters than they led on to be. I find it that I haven't seen many senators. All the senators should have done this, but I haven't seen any senators or congressmen, congresswomen on the Democrat side come out and say what the mob did to Rand Paul is disgusting. We don't condone it. This needs to stop. I didn't really see that. I didn't see that from anybody. That's really, really strange. And I've also seen the media. Let me read you three titles, Alexander, from the Democrat-sponsored media. San Francisco Gate. Senator Paul complains about angry mob encounter after RNC. That's their title. Complains about angry mob encounter. From NPR, the title is, amid peaceful protest, crowds surround Rand Paul after Trump's speech. Amid peaceful protest, crowds surround Rand Paul. And, of course, you have the CNN image that has gone viral now, and there's memes about it, which has the CNN correspondent. And underneath on the chyron, it says, fiery but mostly peaceful protests after police shooting. And everything is burning behind them. Fiery but mostly peaceful protests. People are just not buying it anymore. They're sick of it.
Trump is not buying it.
Trump is going to crush it now. People are sick of it.
I mean, this is the fundamental mistake, I think, that is being made here, is that the people who write these inane and ludicrous articles think that the American people are stupid, that they don't believe, you know, what their own eyes are telling them. You know, that they, you know, see violence and rioting and looting, and that they don't understand that it is violence and rioting and looting, that this is somehow an expression of peace. I mean, it's so discordant that, I mean, it shows, by the way, the extent to which these people have become so used to manufacturing reality that they've actually lost touch with it themselves, because, you know, a more skilled propagandist would know that this isn't really a good idea to, you know, to try and persuade people that the evidence of their own eyes is somehow not true, and that, you know, fiery but peaceful is somehow, you know, describes the actual situation. But can I just say something else? When you talk about organization and the Democrats being organized, we don't have to doubt this, because of course the Democrats have ceded whole parts of cities to these people. I mean, you know, remember Chaz? I mean, that required the active support of the Democratic Party, which was in control in Washington and Seattle, Washington State and Seattle. Of course, they are assisting these things. If the governors and mayors of the United States, all those Democrats who are governors and mayors in all these affected cities, did their job, it wouldn't be happening. These things wouldn't be happening. Why are they not doing their jobs? Because they support these things. Now, you know, completely misguided to do this, but that is what they do. And of course, all of these things are interconnected with each other. There are people with, or, you know, these NGOs that you're talking about, all these things, they're connected to the Democratic Party. It's all part of the same, you know, organizational octopus, if you like. It's all part of the same thing. And again, people know it. You don't have to persuade them. You don't have to go out and explain to them that the Democrats are, to a great extent, behind these protests because they could see it for themselves. They could see what's happening in Portland. They could see what's happening in Chicago. They could see what the mayor of Chicago is up to. They could see what the mayor of New York is up to. They could see what happened in Seattle. So they're making Trump's case for him. And they will go on doing so because they're now stuck in this, even though, as I said, the more intelligent liberal commentators, people like Michael Moore, or at least, shall we say, the liberal commentators who have more contact with reality, can see how bad the situation for the Democrats now is. He would say there is overwhelming enthusiasm for Trump, and for Biden, not so much.
Yeah. You know what it is? Is that the Democrats are now without question the party of violence and the party of war. They're the party of domestic violence, internal violence in the U.S. That is what they have become now. That is what people recognize them as. You vote Democrat, you're voting for mob rule, you're voting for riots, you're voting for disorganization, you're voting for your shops, for your stores, for your livelihood to be destroyed by thugs and mobs. That's the one side of the coin. But going back to Rand Paul's speech, the Democrats are also the party of war. While you have a Republican senator openly giving a speech, openly saying at the RNC, at the Republican convention, a Republican senator saying, we need to pull out of all these wars, and if Biden is elected, he's going to get us bogged down into more wars, and look at what they have done over the years in Syria and in Libya and in Yugoslavia, etc. That says something. The Republicans are actually now becoming the party. They're becoming. They're not there yet because there's a lot of warmongers and neocon hawks in the Republican Party. But people like Rand Paul and people like President Trump are the type of politicians and the type of people, the type of leaders that can really transform the Republican Party into becoming a more non-interventionist party. I'm not saying a full non-interventionist party, but a more non-interventionist party. Case in point, Alexander, I think President Trump is listening to Rand Paul because there is news that he is going to, I believe there's 5,200 troops in Iraq. He's going to downgrade it to 3,000. In other words, he's going to pull out a good 2,000 troops from Iraq. So he is trying to pull out troops from Syria, from Iraq, and from other spots that the U.S. has been bogged down, Afghanistan, for decades now, under Obama and under Clinton and under Bush.
Yes. Well, can I just say straightforwardly, Donald Trump is trying to pull back troops from all kinds of places. And who has opposed him? Well, lots of people. But the Democrats, almost to man and woman, have opposed him. Pelosi, Schumer, all of these people, whatever Trump has talked about, pulling troops out of Syria, pulling troops out of Iraq, pulling troops out of Afghanistan, they always come along and he says he's doing it. He's only doing it because Putin has told him to do it. So yes, it is the case that it is the Republicans, or at least the Trump Republicans, and some of the libertarians like Rand Paul within the Republican Party who are becoming the party of peace. And the Democrats now are the party of war. The Democrats are the party of constant war, continuous war. And I come back to what I said. Rand Paul gave that speech. Tulsi Gabbard, who was, you know, the voice within the Democratic Party, soldiers, you know, person who served on the battlefield. She's banished. She's sent away. She's not even allowed to the Democratic Party convention where she won two delegate votes. So, I mean, it's absolutely the case. They are, as you rightly said, the party of violence at home and of war abroad. And the two are connected with each other.
All right, we'll leave it there. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below and also drop us a comment. We really enjoy reading your comments as well. So please comment on this video if you like it. And also please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really helps out this channel get real news to you. So please donate to us on those platforms. Please go to the Durant shop, pick up some merchandise, mugs, enamel mugs, t-shirts, polo shirts, all kinds of good things. And maybe a quick plug for the Patriot Beacon. You have the Patriot Beacon?
Absolutely. Of course I do. Absolutely. I have
that. You have your beacon. They're running a contest, Alexander.
Absolutely.
Durant 20. When you put Durant 20 at checkout, you will get 20% off when you make any purchase at the website Patriotic Legacy. So you go to the Patriotic Legacy website, make a purchase, put Durant 20 in there, you will get 20% off. The Patriot Beacon flashlight that is going to be given away at the contest is the new Beacon 3 Purple, the color purple. Mm-hmm. That is going to be the flashlight that they will give away in the contest. And with that flashlight, you will also get a USA Magic mug as well. So you'll be entered into the contest for the flashlight. And with the flashlight, you also get a free Magic mug if you win the contest. So Alexander, Patriotic Legacy, Durant Shop.
Absolutely. The best flashlight in the world, made in the United States, ships internationally, and an indispensable and wonderful thing to own. Can I just say, I have realized, I've had even more strongly impressed on me how indispensable it is, because I have been on a walking holiday with my wife in the Peak District of England. We actually got at one point lost, and it was pouring with rain, but which is very common, by the way. You go on walking holidays in England in the hills, and without the Patriot Beacon, we would have been completely lost. The reason is, it's not just a great flashlight, which it is. It's got a wonderful, powerful beam, as you can see. You can dim it if you need to do so, and you can also have a sort of flash thing like that. So if you're walking down a dark road, people know where you are. It's also got a compass. And if you're out of internet contact, as we were, having an actual compass in the handle, incredibly useful. And of course, it is it's always there for you because it's solar powered, so you don't have to worry about batteries. And if in the dark we lose each other, you can just put on an alarm, and that will call that will let us know, each of us know where the other is. And of course, if you're walking on, in the mountains or the hills, on a wet, dark night, you see things can go wrong. You see a car breakdown or something of that kind. Well, you've got your Patriot Beacon. You can use it to break through the windscreen if you have to. You've even got a seatbelt cutter there that you can cut somebody out of their seatbelt and rescue them that way. So it's an incredibly useful thing to have. Alex calls it the Swiss Army knife of flashlights. That describes it exactly. It's the best flashlight in the world. It is incredibly strong and rugged. It is one of those amazing quality products made in the United States. It's made by our friends at the Patriotic Legacy. It ships around the world. You cannot afford to be without one. And it comes in purple. This one is matte, but just imagine a purple one of these. You've just got to have one. And of course, as Alex rightly says, it comes with a mug. And it's this mug, in fact, with the flag of the United States, one of our very own Durant Magic mugs. One of our amazing, phenomenal, fantastic magic mugs. I said I was on a walking holiday in England, and I was, and I had with me at all times my absolutely indispensable Durant enameled mug, which is light and strong and just what you need when you're out on walking. So we've got magic mugs, we've got enamel magic mugs, we've got the Patriot Beacon, which you can find through us, and we've also got other amazing things. We've got new shirts coming along. We've got amazing new hats. Alex has arranged for truck. You also got truckers' hats and baseball hats and embroidered hats, and we've got amazing ebooks too, all in our shop. You could support us by coming to the shop, and of course, you should definitely sort yourself out to get a Patriot Beacon, a Patriot Beacon 3. So Alex will remind you how to do all of these things.
You'll find a link to the Patriotic Legacy website down below, and you'll also find a link to the Durant shop down below underneath this video. All those links are there in the description box. Alexander Merkhurst, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.